Have you ever had the experience of packing up and going home before the party got started? Sometimes people tell me this is a silly example, but sometimes people tell me they've tried watching The Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, and they fell asleep, they got bored, they never ended up actually finishing it. And I always say, it breaks my heart, but I always say, I know it's a long haul, but hang in there. You got to endure to the end. It's worth it. You got to hang in there. That's a silly, mundane example, but our readings today are about wisdom. Having the wisdom to endure, to stay in there, to stick it out for the long haul. We have this theme of, both in the Book of Wisdom and in the Gospel today, of keeping vigil, of waiting with eager expectation for what is to come. That is, for the bridegroom, for who is to come. The wise person is prepared to stick it out for the long haul, so to speak. That is, to endure to the end and stand upright before God at the final judgment. That's ultimately what our gospel is about today. And in our parable today, the bridegroom, of course, we know is Jesus. The 10 virgins represent, in a way, the church. They represent believers in Christ. And the image of virgins is kind of interesting. There are 10 virgins, we're told, in this parable. And it may be evocative of the purity of Christians. And you may recall, I gave a whole homily on purity, about the importance of guarding the purity of our souls, the necessity that is to abstain, to guard our souls, to abstain from all that is impure in our lives and unlawful, not just in a sense of impure sexuality, but all sensual desires, sensual indulgence that's contrary to God's law and to the rule of love. So these are 10 virgins, we're told. They're Christians who have adopted a lifestyle of purity and love. And they all have lamps. It's very interesting. This theme of the lamp is evocative of earlier in Matthew's gospel, the Sermon on the Mount. Remember Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says in his sermon, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works." So here we have again the theme of the lamp, the light shining before all, so that they may see our good works. So those lamps represent our good works. And the distinction between the wise and the foolish virgins is not, again, it's not between the believer and the unbeliever. It's between the Christian who perseveres and the Christian who does not persevere. So the basic message seems to be that the wise virgins, the 5 wise virgins, were prepared for a long wait until the bridegroom arrived. Whereas the foolish were not. I know some of you here have run a half marathon. And I'm sure before you embarked on that goal, you carefully counted the cost. What would it take to finish? You knew it was going to take a lot of training, endurance, physically, conditioning. If you're going to have the endurance to finish, you knew you had to be disciplined in your diet, avoiding certain foods that wouldn't nourish your body and carefully choosing the foods that would. And if you successfully completed the race in the end, then you acted wisely, essentially. And so it goes in the spiritual life. The wise disciple of Jesus not only practices temperance and good works, but is also prepared to keep up this lifestyle of vigilance for as long as it takes to meet the Lord face to face. And I think this is an opportunity for a wake-up call, a reality check for us Christians. Because to not exercise vigilance and wisdom and diligence in the spiritual life, not counting the cost, is actually very dangerous. It's very dangerous in the spiritual life, especially in today's culture, because brothers and sisters, we are not in peacetime anymore. We're not in Christendom anymore. Christianity is not culturally respected. It's not acceptable as it once was in Christendom. Christendom does not exist anymore. We're not in peacetime. I'm not talking about the sense that the Holy Land or Ukraine are facing, and we certainly need to pray for them in the sense of being in a physical war. But we live in the midst of a wicked generation. Our culture is hostile to the faith. It's hostile to the truth that we profess and live by. And what I'm proposing is not that Christians bunker down and retreat and hide away from the culture, kind of isolate ourselves in a strict sense. But I think what we really need to consider is how we need to step up our game. Step up our game and take responsibility to know what the church believes and teaches. We can't afford to be foolish. We can't afford to be lackadaisical and careless, just simply coasting by as if we were in peacetime, as if we weren't on a battlefield. We need to step up our game because the reality is the opposition has stepped up their game. It's true. We need to seriously ask ourselves, I think, this question as a starting point. Do I really know the bridegroom? Do I really know whom I am waiting for to return? Have I paid attention to the real Jesus? The real Jesus? Or have I made Jesus into my own image? I think the question becomes ultimately, and this is, I think, the ultimate invitation that Jesus has for his disciples, his church today, through this parable. Do I love the real Jesus? Because it's love that's going to get us into heaven. If the bridegroom returns and he finds that we didn't know him, we didn't love him, he's going to say, "I do not know you." And the door will be locked. And our secular culture today really wants to sow doubt about faith and morals and the truth contained in the Holy Scriptures, which are simply antithetical to the secular worldview. Do I really believe that the Scriptures are inerrant when it comes to faith and morals? This is about salvation. This really is about salvation. When you look around at the church today, when you look around at the world today, our society today, you can see that the secular culture has made great advances and has had great success in sowing this doubt about the inerrancy of Scripture, about faith and morals. And it's all relative. They've convinced us. And it's not. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. But I'm just trying to give us a reality check, a wake-up call. We have to wisen up about the situation that we're facing today and take responsibility to know who the real Jesus is and what the church really teaches. We have to ultimately make a decision between Christ and the culture It's what Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" We can't foolishly let ourselves be deceived by other voices, competing voices about who Jesus really is and what he taught. Voices other than the Good Shepherd's voice. We have to be able to recognize the Good Shepherd's voice when he speaks to us, and recognize the voice of a stranger who seeks to lead us astray, lead us away from salvation. We have to be vigilant and stay awake because we know neither the day nor the hour. So we have to fill up our reserves of oil so we can persevere. And what is that oil? We can interpret that oil as the oil of the Holy Spirit. So we rely not on our own strength, but on the strength of God. And how do we do that? How do we fill up those reserves of oil? Only through personal prayer every day. Especially, I would say, meditate on the Scriptures, the Word of God. And also through faith, the gift of faith, and the sacraments. That will be the fuel to keep our lamps lit with good works, and the endurance to run the race until death or the Lord's return.